Chapter number 7. I'm so happy you're here tonight. It's good to see the old faces, but it's good to see some new faces also. Thank you for the wonderful music, brother. Thank you for coming tonight at good distance and singing and blessing our heart. Remember, tomorrow night it's over. It ends. This could be the last revival before Jesus Christ comes again. Setting up in heaven who you wish you had invited. How much more fervently will you wish you prayed? This could be God's last call before the trumpet sounds. Hey, Brother Mark, I invited somebody. They have not come. Get home after the service tonight by 11:30, quarter of 12. Pick up the phone and give them a call. Now, you don't have to talk real long. You know, just say, you dirty, rotten backslider, missed your revival. Then just slam the receiver down. I'll guarantee you something. They may not come to revival. They'll never forget you called and invited them to come for revival. Tomorrow, let me encourage you. Pray. Let's make tomorrow night a great closing night. Look in your Bible, John chapter 7, verse number 37. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But thus spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified." In John chapter 7, it's called a Feast of Tabernacles. One feast so important, every adult male Jew was required to go all the way back to Jerusalem and celebrate that feast. Basically, it commemorated the time when God gave water out of the rock in the wilderness to satisfy the thirst of his people. God gave water out of what? Out of a rock. That's God's power. And my friend, there's a picture there. Our hearts are hard. We'll get our life right with God. The flow of the Holy Ghost will come out. Lives will be affected. Church will be revived. It all depends on one being, not an evangelist. It depends on the Holy Spirit. Now, strange thing here. The last day, the great day of the feast, they had this big thing. The priest would take a pool, go down to the pool of Siloam, fill it full of water, come back and pour it on the altar, remembering that time. Now, Jesus was there. That was a time of intense religious emotion. The Jews would jump up and down, clap their hands, holler, "Glory to God." Emotions going wild. But now, wait a minute. Jesus saw as the waterfall on the altar the next morning would evaporate and be gone. And Christ said this, "I got something better for you than a temporary religious fix. I'm going to put somebody inside you who brings joy, happiness, victory, and power." And that someone is the Holy Spirit of God. Let me emphasize this. Every believer is indwelt with the Holy Spirit of God. Your Bible says, "Any man have not the Spirit of God, he is none of his." Before Pentecost, Christ said, "He is with you, but he shall be in you." I have to put it this way. When you got saved, in essence, you became a motel. How come? Because somebody moved inside of you. Tonight, I see a number of motels out here. I see some motels, you need a roof on top, that's for sure. Amen. I see some motels have a nice addition on the front. That's nice, guys. It really is. Perhaps some motels are having plumbing problems. I'm not going there. But now wait. When you got saved, Holy Spirit come to live inside of you. That is the indwelling. Now wait. The text speaks of the filling. What does it mean to be filled? Three times. So I'm going to comparison between a drunken man and a spirit-filled man. Be not drunk with wine, where is excess, but be filled with the Holy Ghost. At Pentecost, they were filled with the Holy Ghost. The crowd said, "These guys are drunk." Here's the key. Drunken man is controlled and energized by the liquor. Yeah. The first 14 years of my life, I was at a tavern 4 or 5 nights a week. I saw it. Somebody gets drunk, what happens? They're changed. Their speech is changed. Their attitudes change. Thank God somebody filled with the Holy Ghost. They're changed and become an asset to the cause of Jesus Christ. Number one, first of all, I'm going to your Bible now to Ezekiel chapter 47. Ezekiel, notice in John chapter 7 before you go there, please. It says in verse 36, "As the scripture has said." What scripture? Had to be the Old Testament. New Testament was not risen yet. Look in your Bible, Ezekiel chapter 47, please. Saw Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel chapter 47. You find an Old Testament prophecy of the New Testament spirit-filled life. Number one, first of all, the mysterious source of the river. Remember, the river speaks of what? The flow of the Holy Ghost. Now watch it. What do I have to do to be a spirit-filled Christian? Look in your Bible. Verse number 1 of Ezekiel 47. "Afterward he brought me again on the door of the house." The house is a temple. Now mind you, what know ye not? Your body today is a temple of the Holy Ghost. Read further, please. at the door of the house. Why does he shoot out on the threshold of the house eastward? Four foot of the house stood toward the east. Waters came down under the right side of the house at the south side of the altar. That verse says three things you ought to do to be a spirit-filled Christian. Number one, first of all, you must be a humble individual. Look at that verse again. Where's the water flow from? The water flows from, my friend, under the threshold. A threshold is what you walk on. So are you willing to be walked on for the cause of Jesus Christ? You may be laughed at and thought strange, but because you witness. My friend, to be a spirit-filled Christian, you must put away your pride and say, I'll obey God, whatever he asks, wherever he asks, I'll obey God. Thus saith the high and lofty one, inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in a high and holy place with him also, is a humble and a contrite spirit, to revive the heart of the humble and revive the spirit of the contrite one. Four times in that verse, God said, you're ever going to be a spirit-filled Christian. You got to trample on your pride. All that stuff and say, I want God to use me regardless of the cost. That's what it takes. We're going to be trampled on, ridiculed, thought well of for the glory of Jesus Christ. Number one, to be a spirit-filled Christian, you must be a humble individual. Number two, to be a spirit-filled Christian, you must desire, follow me, to be a holy individual. Look, please, at the top of the page in Ezekiel 47. You find a man's name there. The man's name is Ezekiel. You say, so what? Now, in the book of Ezekiel, 97 times God calls him by a certain name. Here's the name. 97 times he calls Ezekiel, son of man. You say, so what? Here's what, so. Luke 19:10, referring to himself, Jesus said, the son of man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Please don't miss it. Christ said this. There's an Old Testament prophet named Ezekiel. He was called the son of man. Christ said this. I'm not ashamed. I don't have to blush. He said he was a holy man of God. I'm the holy son of God. Question. If Christ was called by your name, would he be embarrassed? Would he blush? Because your action, your reaction, your attitude. Oh, my friend, think of it. Now, Ezekiel, they were so holy that Christ said, you can call me by the same name you called him by. Because he was a holy man of God. I was preaching one of the great churches I go to. And the first time I was there was about 27 years ago. I've been going there ever since. Wasn't sure what time Sunday school was, so I got there early. And I come out of the restroom, a lady walked by and said, hey, Bob, how you doing? I said, I'm doing fine. My name is not Bob, it's Joe, okay? And I'm walking down the hallway. A woman said, Bob, you're looking good today. I said, thank you, ma'am. A guy came up and said, boy, Bob, man, it's great to come to this church, isn't it? I said, yeah, it's great. It's wonderful. You know? Pretty soon, I met Pastor Burgraft, him the older. He said, how you doing? I said, brother, I'm having an identity crisis. I said, seven of your people have called me Bob. Now, here's what my thought. Maybe Pastor advertised me as Bob Mark. It gets worse, friend. It gets worse. Maybe I thought these folks think I'm from the South, and my name is Joe Bob Mark. Now that's scary stuff. That's scary stuff. Anyway, I said, Brother Burgraff, I said, some of your people have called me Bob. He said, preacher, there's a guy in the church looks exactly like you. We're down there talking. He said, turn around. Look at that guy coming down the center aisle. I looked. I saw a man coming down the center aisle. The handsomest, best looking, most athletic guy I ever saw in my life. I was sure he was Mr. America and Mr. Universe rolled into one. I said, preacher, you don't have to tell me that is Bob. Hey, I was right. Question. You remind anybody of Jesus Christ? You should. Yeah. Amen. Paul said that Christ may be manifest in my body. A great Bible example. Back to John the Baptist. Preaching out there in the wilderness. The religious crowd comes out. They said, John, are you Moses? No. Are you Elijah? No. Are you one of the prophets? He said, no. Then they said, are you the Christ? Wow. John the Baptist lived and preached such a way. They said, this man could be the coming Messiah. This man could be the Christ. Oh, that's how we ought to live. Let people know Christ didn't die. Put in a tomb, stink and rotten decay. We ought to live so they'll know he's alive.
Amen.
Because they see him living in us, Paul, that Christ may be manifest, seen in my body. Number one, first of all, my friend, a humble individual. Number two, a holy individual. Number three, a heated individual on fire for God. Look in your Bible at verse 1. After when he brought me again unto the door of the house. For why was he shut out from the threshold of the house eastward? For from the house stood the word the east. Twice you find that word east. You say, so what? Here we go. Watch up. The sun rises in the east. The source of heat and fire comes from the east in the sun. Question, Christian, are you on fire for God? You should be. Christ asked us to be. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. You say, that's not for me. The Great Commission is for every single Christian, friend. God help us to have a fire, the ho-hum attitude, the laziness, the laxness. I'm saved, that's all that matters. Friend, if you're saved, that's not all that matters. Christ died for you. You have no monopoly on Calvary. The Bible says our gospel came. I like this. Then it says in Thessalonians, our gospel came. Then he says, I became. There's no period there. Then he says, and from you sounded out. Thank God. They heard the gospel. They got saved. The gospel didn't hit a dead end. No, it flowed. Amen. Amen. And somebody else, a co-worker, a neighbor, a family member got saved. Why? Because they're on fire for Jesus Christ. Number one, the mysterious source of the river. Number two, the marked course of the river. Where does this river flow to? I'll just mention two places. First of all, my friend, it flows. Look at verse number 8, if you will. Ezekiel 47, verse number 8. These waters issue out toward the east country and go down into the desert and go into the sea, which being brought forth into the sea, the waters shall be healed. Now, this river flows to two places. Number one, first of all, my friend, it flows to the depressed places. Look at that verse again. Interesting. These waters reach out toward the east country and go down into the desert and go into the sea. Hear this. Let me explain it to you. The sea, my friend, is the Dead Sea, the lowest spot on the face of the earth. What's that speak of? Spiritual depression. The joy is gone. The victory is gone. Well, you're still faking it, but the reality has disappeared. Is there an answer to spiritual depression? There is. And the Bible tells you what the answer is. The Bible says they were filled with the Holy Ghost and joy. That's it right there. The average Christian says, boy, if I give my life to God and become a spirit-filled Christian, I'll be miserable. I'll never be happy. When I get old, I won't have smile lines. Friend, you believe the devil's lie. The fruit of the Spirit is what? Love? What's it? Joy! Amen. My friend, you don't know what joy is till you're filled with the Holy Ghost. It's that simple. That's Baptist doctrine, by the way, not Pentecostal doctrine. Amen, sir. Bible doctrine. A Spirit-filled Christian has an inward happiness. A carnal Christian knows nothing at all about. I live in Bloomington, Illinois. I'm going to fly out of Peoria, about 45 miles away. I went over there in the morning and went to the desk. I said, give me my name. He said, ha, ha, you think you're going to Denver, don't you? I said, well, I thought I was. He said, here's the problem. There's been a big pileup. He said, your plane does not leave until 6 o'clock tonight. I said, that's okay. I said, I'll go home and let my wife take me out to breakfast. So I drove back home, and I was supposed to be late at night, but I got a call at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. I said, this is the airport. I said, yes, sir. He said, there's been a change in schedule. I said, okay. He said, your plane leaves in 45 minutes. You want to hear about a miracle? Remember the story? Elijah went to heaven in a chariot of fire, didn't he? Huh? Ready for this? Chrysler's a lot like a chariot of fire. I want to tell you that right now. I got in my car. 37 minutes later, I'm at the, isn't God good? 37 minutes, I'm in the airport at Peoria. I walk in, the guy starts laughing. He said, your plane's been delayed a half hour. I said, no problem. I'm sitting there reading a book on revival. A guy across the aisle said, hey, what are you reading? I said, a book on revival. Ever been to one? Yeah, I said, I've been there and done that. Come on, let me talk to you. Let me ask you, you ever received Christ as your Savior? Yeah, I said, one time I was a Christian. I said, that's interesting. I said, you do speak English. He said, well, yeah. I said, I give them eternal life. How long is eternal? It sounds like, I said, sir, it doesn't sound like it is. God is no end-in giver. He said, I give it. You didn't earn it. He said, I give it to you. Then it says this, I give them to eternal life. They shall never perish. That means you'll never see the inside of a place called hell. And he said this, you never, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. I said, I don't know where you've been, what you've been studying, but it's not the Word of God. I said, salvation is eternal. Then I said, where are you heading? He said, I'm going to San Francisco. I said, I've been there. I said, I want to tell you something. The greatest place in the world to get folks saved is San Francisco. I testify to that. Before my friend left San Francisco, he pastored there. I go there for 2 weeks. Every night, 18 to 30 people walked down the aisle and got saved in that city. Where sin did abound, thank God, grace did much more abound. I said, sir, I said, what are you going there for? To commit suicide. I said, you're going there for what? To commit suicide. He said, sir, I graduated the top of my class. I can't find a job in this town. He said, Caterpillar won't hire me. He said, my wife worked at a hospital. Number two was a physician, and they had to cut back, and she got fired. He said, life is miserable. We can't get along. We're both wretched. We decided to sell our house. We got money. Went to San Francisco, find a nice motel, some good restaurants. Where the money runs out, he said, we're going to blow our brains out and commit suicide. His wife came just in and said, honey, you better go. The police want to come in. He went to the restroom. Hey, I said, boy, it's good to see you. What a beautiful day, huh? I said, where you going? She said, San Francisco. I meant, what a beautiful town. What are you going there for? Want to kill ourselves. Life is worthless and it stinks and it's not worth living. I said, what? You don't mean the same thing? So I was number two in the hospital. They had to cut back. I got fired. Can't find a job. My husband was head of his graduating class. He can't find a job. He said, we're going to San Francisco, blow our money. We got a lot of money. He said, blow our money, then end it all. Either kill ourselves or jump in the bay and that's it. Now, let me ask you a question. Have you ever accepted Christ as your Savior? She said, buddy, I want to tell you something. I have. So has my husband. We lived hard for God. Said, mister, we went to church four times a week. That includes visitation. Said, we went to prayer meeting. We did it all. Then she said, we got away from God. And when that happened, we lost our salvation. I said, you're wrong. You didn't lose your salvation. You lost the joy of your salvation. The man came back from the restroom and sat down. I said, okay, you cannot lose salvation. Jesus Christ is no liar. He does not make false promises. Excuse me, he is not a used car salesman. Yeah. When he says something, it's sure. Amen. He said, buddy, I said, when you got saved, you're as saved right now as you were back then. When sin comes in, it takes the joy away. You become wretched and miserable, and you gripe and bellyache and can't get along. I said, you need to get right with God. Both of them started crying. I said, what you need to do? I couldn't believe it. They got him by the hand. They stood up, walked over in the airport, found a little place over there, knelt down on their knees in the airport and prayed. We started loading the plane, and I got on before they did. I'm sitting back here. They got on. They sat ahead of me about three rows on the right. Okay, now, whew. When I saw what was going on, I wanted to rededicate my life. I'll tell you that right now. Hang on, you won't understand this, Pastor. I'll explain it to you afterward, okay? They're hugging. Glory to God. They're kissing. Man, I wanted to rededicate my life when I saw that going on up there, man. It's like their honeymoon up there, man. They're laughing and giggling and hugging. And when I got off the plane, I'm waiting for them. She came up and gave me a hug. He came up and hugged me. He said, preacher, man alive. He said, you saved our life. What happened? They got away from God. They were depressed. But thank God the water flows to the depressed places. If you'll confess your sin, you can get the joy back, the thrill back, the excitement comes back. When? When we confess our sin. Number one, if you lost your joy, there's a reason. What's God's word? That your joy might be full. Man, God wants you full of joy. Amen. You're not going to find it holding out on God. You're not going to find it messing around with sin. You're going to find it living for God, serving God. And amount to something for Jesus Christ. Read your Bible again. First of all, my friend, Ezekiel 47. we find that the water flowed to the depressed places. Number two, the water flows to the desert places. Again, look at verse number 8. It's right there in your Bible. Ezekiel 47, verse 8. Is he unto me, these waters he shall toward the east country and go down into the desert. Now, what's in a desert? Sand. Wow. Excitement, isn't it? Huh? Snakes. That could be exciting. Yeah. What is not in a desert? Water. Believer, can I ask you a question? Is your Christian life dried up? You're living on what you used to be. Living on what you used to do. The reality has been snatched away and your life is like sand, gritty. And yet, thank God you haven't given up. You're hanging in there. I thank God for that. But my friend, God's got something better for you than being all dried up. When the Bible speaks of the filling of the Holy Spirit time and time again, God uses water. Floods upon dry land. That's the Bible right there. God said, I'll send floods upon dry land. That's the Holy Ghost power flowing on your life. That's what you need. That's what you need. Turn your Bible, if you would, to Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7. Praise God, the clock of the back doesn't work. Amen. Romans chapter 7. I'm not going to keep you real long tonight. I'm not. I never have. I never will. I don't know that much, okay? Romans chapter 7. Now, Romans chapter 7, you find a backslidden Christian. New Bibles are fun to break in. Huh? Now, friend, don't miss it. This is the Apostle Paul. He's saved, been saved about 20 years. Romans 7, verse 14, I'm sorry, verse 15, Paul said, that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. What I hate, that do I. Here's what Paul said. The good things I want to do for God, they don't get done. The evil things I don't want to do, that's exactly what I do. Understand, friend, this is not a new convert. This is not a rookie Christian. Here's the greatest Christian ever lived saying, when I want to live for God, I don't. Look down. Romans chapter 7. Look at verse 16. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. The same thing. Here's what Paul said. The good things I want to do for God, they don't get done. Evil things I don't want to do, that's exactly what I do. Look on down, please. Verse 24. Paul said, oh, wretched man that I am. He said, I'm wretched. The joy, the happiness, the thrill, it's gone. Now, is there an answer? Look at Romans chapter 8. Here's the answer, buddy. Romans chapter 8, look at verse number 1. The last word is spirit. Verse number 2, the law of the spirit. Look down, please. Verse number 4, the final word is spirit. Verse number 5, two times in one verse, he mentions the Holy Spirit. Verse number 9, three times in verse 9, he refers to the Holy Spirit of God. Verse number 10, the Spirit is life. Verse number 11, twice more in verse 11, he refers to the Holy Spirit. Verse number 12, again, ye through the Spirit do mortify, that means kill, the deeds of the body. Verse 14, measure are led by the Spirit. Verse 15, ye have received the Spirit. Verse 16, the Spirit itself. You go on down, you could. Verse 23 talks about the Spirit. Verse 26, twice the Spirit. Verse 27, the Spirit. How can I be a happy Christian, victorious? My friend, 27 times in that chapter, Paul says the Holy Spirit brings victory and power and joy in your life.
Amen.
And you'll never find it without Him.
Yes, sir.
Are you a Spirit-filled Christian? Read a story about a young man played football. It was in college. And the coach knew he wanted to be a coach someday, that young man. He said, son, I'm going to go scout out some football players. You want to go with me? He said, yeah, let's do it. So they're driving to the game, and the coach said, now, son, there are all kinds of football players. There's some football players, you hit them hard, they lay down, take an injury, and crawl off. We don't want those. He said, you're right, son. Now, he said, son, there are some football players, you knock them down, they get up, you hit them hard, they get up, you barrel into them, they'll kind of move aside and miss me. And we don't want those. That's right, coach. He said, now, son, hear me, there are some football players, you knock them down, they get up. You bury them in the dirt, they claw out. You bury them again, they get up. Well, I said, coach, That's the type of guy we want. To go say, no! We want the guy doing the knocking down. Hey, will you hear your Bible? Hear it. We're more than conquerors. Somebody say amen. We're more than conquerors. Through him that loved us. Thank God the devil doesn't have to knock us down and trample on us. We're more than conquerors.
Amen.
Through the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. One more thought. Ezekiel 47. In closing, I like this part. I like it all. Go back to Ezekiel 47. And in closing, we find the mighty force of the Spirit. Look at verse number 9, please. It shall come to pass, everything that liveth and moveth, wheresoever the rivers shall come, shall live. There shall be a very great multitude of fish, because these rivers come hither. What kind of fish is he talking about? Big mouth bass? No, no. Carp? I hope not. The Bible defines itself. Jesus defined that. He said, follow me. I didn't say it. Christ said it. And I'll make you. You can't avoid it. You can't excuse it. You can't detour around it. Follow me and I'll make you to become fishers of men. What is that? That's witnessing and that soul winning. And friend Andrew Murray, a great, great Christian, said this: if you're not fishing for men, don't lie to yourself, you're not following Christ.
Amen.
In the Bible, every time, the book of Acts, every time, they're filled with the Holy Ghost. What do? They're out there witnessing, sharing, winning folk. A Spirit-filled Christian is a witnessing Christian, regardless of your opinion. Bible, Bible. Pentecost. Couldn't get any worse. 12 guys, really only 11. Peter's crucified. Think it's all over. They had no money. Had to be a Baptist church. Peter said, silver and gold have I none. Yeah. What else? They had no upper echelon people. Or not all these people, Galileans. In Bible times, you were a Galilean, excuse me. You were a hillbilly. They had no money. They had no class. They shut the world. Why? The one thing they had was the filling of the Holy Ghost. And that took care of everything else. A few years ago, I was in a Homosassa Springs, Florida. And down there, it was about 75 degrees. I live in Illinois. And back there, it was 30 below. Now, my wife is back home. Amen. You know, my wife is back home. And I'll tell you something. You say, oh, you're a poor wife. I took care of my wife before I left, buddy. I know how to take care of women. I do. Before I left, I went down to the gas station. I bought my wife 5 gallon of premium grade gasoline for that snowblower. Don't tell me I don't know how to take care of women. I do, okay? So here I am in Florida. Back home, the weather's horrible. And it's Monday. I got my door open. I'm typing some letters. I heard a voice. The voice said, hey, blank face, get out of there. Filthy, vulgar, dirty words. I looked up, I saw a woman blowing smoke in my room. She said, how come your door's open? In Christian love, I wanted to say, none of your stinking business. I didn't. I said, ma'am, I'm from Illinois. Thank you for sharing your wonderful weather. She said, I gotta go, got the dog and left. Next day, I'm reading, all of a sudden heard again, hey, blank face, get out of there. I'm hoping the dog's back in my room. I look around, there's a little dog running around. She picked him up and looked at me. She said, you're strange. What do you do? I said, thank God for asking, ma'am. I'm a Baptist evangelist. I go all over America telling people two things. Number one, Jesus Christ can change your filthy life and your rotten language right here, right now. He's the only guy who can keep you out of hell, get you into heaven. It's Jesus. I gotta go. She got the dog and left. Thursday night after the service, pastor brought me back to the motel. We went out to get something to eat. I got out and this woman's pulling in her car. I said, hey, how you doing? She said, stinking rotten. I wanted to say happy birthday to you, too. I didn't. She's thinking rotten. She said, can I talk to you? I said, I would love to talk to you. Bring your husband. He won't come. I'll talk to him. Here's the deal. I want you to come. We're staying in an old Holiday Inn. The front end is, front of it is entire glass. She said, I want you to come. Leave the curtains open. Leave the door open. I want to talk to you. I said, we'll see. 35 minutes, she walked in and saw on the couch. Okay, I said, how can I help you? She said, you can't help me. She said, I've been through Alcoholics Anonymous 3 times. Right now, she said, on a good day, I drink a pint of gin. If things go bad, I drink 2 pints. The doctor said, it's going to kill you. So what? Life's not worth living. Said, mister, look, when you like that, I looked. Each wrist, 3 deep, dark, ugly scars. Said, mister, 3 times in my life, I hit bottom. I took a knife, I cut through the skin, through the ligaments, through the veins, all the way to the bone. She said, sir, I'm such a failure, I can't even commit suicide. Can anybody help me? I said, I know just the guy. I'll tell you what he said. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red as crimson, they shall be as wool. I said, ma'am, I cannot help you. No preacher in town can help you. I got good news for you. Jesus Christ can help you, and he wants to help you. He said, come unto me, all you that are labor and heavy laden. She said, how can he help me? I give her the gospel. Amen. Amen. We got through. I said, you understand what I told you? She said, I hold my liquor well. I understand everything you told me. I said, what are you going to do about it? She said, sir, I'm going to accept him. Thank God she didn't say it. No, him, that's what it is, him. Amen. We prayed together, she accepted Christ and left. This day about noon, I'm packing my car, my wife's flying down, my wife, and we're going to my in-laws, which live not real far away, and so I'm packing my car, she pulled in her truck, got out, I said, hey, how you doing? She said, strange. I said, tell me about it. She said, strange. I said, how come? She said, preacher, I'm scared. She said, I took my husband to work. Coming back, I counted him. She said, coming back, I drove by 13 liquor stores, didn't stop at one. I'm afraid I'm going to die of thirst. Said, preacher, this being same stuff is strange. Then she said this. You better lick your lips and get ready for this one, buddy. She said, by the way, I changed the name of my dog. Hallelujah. Praise God. That's revival right there. I was going to joke with her. I said, what'd you call him? Did you call him Spot? She starts crying. You don't understand women. I don't either. Nobody does. She just started weeping, sobbing. Through the tears, she looks what she said. Through the tears. No. But I could call him and me both spotless, because I just feel so clean inside. That's what it does. And my friend, that's just not for preachers, that's for you. Be not drunk with wine, be filled with the Holy Ghost. The flow of the Holy Ghost gave you power, boldness, and anointing that will shake this church, shake the gates of hell, and bring glory to Jesus Christ. Will you bow your head for prayer? Our heads are bowed. 2 questions. Number one, have you received Christ? Are you sure you're going to heaven? Well, I'm not sure. You can be sure. Not by church membership or baptism. By accepting Jesus Christ. Acknowledging you're a sinner. Realizing you cannot save yourself. Realizing on that cross, he died for your sin. Took your place. And all he wants you to do is invite him to come into your heart and into your life. You're here tonight, you said, preacher, I'm not sure I'm a Christian, but I should like to have what you preached about. Could I pray for you? I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to point you out. You said, preacher, I'm not sure I'm a Christian. Pray for me. Could I just see your hand right now? Up and right back down. Anybody? I'm not sure I'm a believer, but pray for me. Question number 2, I'm talking to Christians. The joy is gone. The victory is gone. Your spiritual life is dried out. You're living on precious memories. Thank God the present stream is flowing tonight. The filling of the Holy Ghost. You say, preacher, what do I have to do to be a spirit-filled Christian? Number 1, confession of past failure. You got to get honest with God. You got to stop rationalizing about your sin and get on your knees and say, God, it is sin. I'm confessing it as sin. Number 1, confession of past failure. Number 2, There must be a strong desire to be Spirit-filled. You sit there and say, I can take it, I can, you'll never have it. Jesus said, I'll pour water on him that is thirsty and floods upon the dry ground. My friend, that is a strong emotion. Thirst, thirst, dry. If you're not desperate, don't even pray. Number three, by faith, not by works, by faith, you claim the filling of the Holy Spirit of God. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, we will say, Brother Mark, I'm a Christian, but God spoke to my heart tonight. The joy is gone, my life is dry, the blessing's gone, the power's gone, the boldness is gone. Preacher, as you preach tonight, God stirred my heart. I need in my life the filling of the Holy Spirit of God. I want you to pray for me. Can I just see your hand right now? Up and right back. God bless you. God bless you. There's still one up. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Hallelujah. Wow. It's an old song. Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. God is speaking. God is moving. God probably touched 12, 15 hands already. He's here. He wants to help you. Wants to make you a powerful, victorious, dynamic Christian. Take away the shame. Take away the monotony. And give you real life tonight. Anybody else before I pray? Brother Mark, I'm a Christian. But God spoke to my heart. Include me in the prayer. Anybody else? Up and right back down. Thank you. Anybody else? 10 seconds. I'm a Christian. God, thank you. God bless you, sir. 5 seconds before I pray. Could I include you quickly, quickly? Father, thank you tonight for being with us. And you meant us tonight not to hammer us. You meant us to make something out of us that will glorify Christ and save souls and exalt your name among the heathen. Bless the invitation in a powerful way, a wonderful way. I want you to sit there, your head bowed, your eyes closed. We're not going to sing tonight. In a minute, I'm going to have you stand with your head bowed and your eyes closed. If God's speaking to your heart tonight, I'm going to invite you to slip out of that seat in the nearest aisle. Make your way to the front. You want to come, you can sit on the front row, another number of empty seats. You can kneel at the altar. But if God's speaking to your heart, I want you to come. You say, well, I should not know, no, but I want you to come. You see, you can quench the Spirit of God. He may never speak to your heart again like he did. You'll miss it. You'll miss it. You quench the Spirit. You grieve the Spirit. He said, I will make something out of you. And you spit in his face and say, I'm not walking on God. Help you, friend. If you're thirsty, you'll find the answer at the altar. Come and confess your sin. The pastor will be down front. You want some help in the Christian life. Don't be embarrassed. Don't be ashamed. Come and tell a preacher. Here is somebody to open the Bible and help you how you can live for God and serve God. Are we ready? Everybody in this auditorium right now. Everybody, just stand to your feet. Stand right up. Come on, stand up, everybody. If God's speaking to your heart, don't miss it. Don't miss it. Don't miss him. Come on up right now. Get out of there.